Hey everyone, this is Derek Bros with the Conscious Resistance Network and also The Last American Vagabond. Today's video, as you can guess by the title, is directed at those who still, in 2023, on the brink of 2024, still somehow, despite all evidence to the contrary, believe that Donald Trump is a hero for liberty or a defender of truth and justice or is here to stop the New World Order or the globalist or the World Economic Forum. When in fact, as I'm going to show you again for the umpteenth millionth time, he is actually the exact opposite. Everything he has done, save for a few wild card options, has really been to advance the agendas that he claims to be fighting. The agendas that the health freedom movement, the liberty movement, the freedom movement all over the world are fighting. And unfortunately, lots of people out there, including maybe some of you, have bought into this idea. And if you are one of those people, I would challenge you to stay throughout the whole video. Do not click out right now like you're maybe feeling the need to say, oh, this is just some Trump tard, some Trump derangement syndrome. As you're gonna see, I am not a leftist, a liberal, etc., or a progressive who just hates Trump for no reason, or nothing I'm about to say has anything to do with Russiagate or any of those kind of things. And yet, Donald Trump is still guilty of crimes. Donald Trump is, in fact, an authoritarian. He is a danger to the republic or democracy or whatever you want to say. And we're going to get into that as well because I see, unfortunately, a lot of other commentators, journalists, content creators, talking heads in the so-called independent alternative media who have bought into this idea that, yes, we know Donald Trump is being attacked by the media and for a lot of not always true reasons and just for garbage reasons. And they take that then and then they spin it and they tell their audience, that means Donald Trump has done nothing wrong. We all know that. Anybody who says that must be Trump derangement syndrome. Pay no attention to them. And it's really, they're really doing a disservice to those of you out there who are watching who care about truth. Because if the independent media and the alternative media wanted to be honest with you, they would be clear about where Donald Trump stands for liberty and where he doesn't, and make that perfectly clear, and not act as if there's nothing here. And that's what I plan to do, because that's what we do at the Conscious Resistance Network. So before we go any further, I want to remind you guys to visit my website, theconsciousresistance.com. If you're new here, I've been broadcasting since 2010, started the Conscious Resistance Network in 2013. This is the home for my podcasts, articles, interviews, just so much content here that I've produced. You can see all the recent things. We've got articles from new contributors like The Keys to Creating Sustaining a Successful Intentional Community. We've got recent podcasts about alleged climate emergency, the permacrisis, the upcoming World Economic Forum event, the fluoride trial, the Greater Reset, so much stuff happening here. And you can also go to all of our categories here and see investigation, documentaries, books, my presentations that I've given over the last decade. You can see my COVID work. You can see my work on technocracy. You can look up my motivational speeches if you want a little bit of inspiration and some walk and talks as well. So there's a lot of content here. I encourage you, again, bookmark the website, theconsciousresistance.com. Wherever you're watching me from, on Odyssey, Rockfin, BitChute, Substack, Hive, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Telegram, thank you for following me there, but please follow my website. I would appreciate that much more if you regularly visited my website. And as I mentioned, I'm a writer for The Last American Vagabond, thelastamericanvagabond.com. I'll include my author page in case you want to follow there. And so today's video is based on my most recent article for The Last American Vagabond, which was published just last week, and it's titled, Dear Freedom Movement, Donald Trump is Not a Friend of Liberty. And that's what we're going to go over. As always, I am not going to read every piece of this article. I really hope that my audience is the kind of people who actually do read. I know there's this belief I've noticed recently where people say, oh, nobody reads anymore. And honestly, based on some of the viewership of my articles, it might be true. I know sometimes my articles can be longer, shorter in some cases. This one, I think, is just long enough to keep you interested and hopefully get you sharing. Because remember, social media is about sharing content, getting people, you know, informed and educated. That's why I take the time. I'm taking time out of my day right now to record this video. I'm going to edit it up. I'm going to put it out and broadcast it in the hopes that you will hear it and not just passively click link, like or heart or fire or whatever the heck the icon is on the platform you're on, but actually listen, take the information, share it, text it, email it to somebody. And I know some of you have given up on that and you think that there's no ways to reach people, but I want to encourage you not to give up. And I also want to encourage you not to give up on liberty, because Donald Trump is not a friend of liberty. The reason I wanted to do this video, kind of, it happened for multiple reasons. On my Telegram channel and a few other places on my social media, I had people who I was surprised who were trying to defend Donald Trump. And first of all, I try not to have this knee-gut reaction of, like, why the hell are you on my channel? Knee-jerk, gut reaction, you know, like, get the heck out of here. Why would you dare be on my channel if you're going to, believe in Donald Trump? But I also don't want to just be dismissive of people just because they have a wrong view, because I've had wrong views on plenty of topics, and I'm sure there's things I'm wrong about right now that I might be informed about later. And because through my efforts over the last 8 years, because Donald Trump appeared on the scene in 2015, of course, by 2016, we knew he was actually not just a joke, and then he won. And he's been around. And so that means we've had plenty of time to listen to Donald Trump, to watch his actions, and to see what he's actually about. And in the 8 years that I've been producing content related to Donald Trump, I have had a lot of angry emails, a lot of angry comments. I've had people unfollow me on various platforms. And I've also had people reach out and say, thank you for, you know, hitting QAnon so hard, or for focusing on Trump and exposing this thing or that thing, because I finally saw it and now I understand that Donald Trump, just like anybody else who could potentially get into the presidential position, is bought and sold. And we're going to go over some of that information today. So this video and this article was coming out of conversations I was having on social media, where I was just like blown away that my followers, some of you out there, or listeners, whatever you want to say, could possibly still believe this. And also, because we're approaching 2023, we're going to be 11 months away from the next US election, and I'll have a lot more content about that soon. Although I hate to talk about politics, I definitely believe there will be a false flag this coming year. I don't want to make predictions at the moment, but I do think that's something we need to be concerned about, and I touched on that in one of my previous articles. But we're going into the election season, and Donald Trump is clearly going to be the nominee of the Republican Party, and yet at the same time, he's facing all these different charges. He's got accusations against him. And again, I know that there are some in the independent alternative media who are very dismissive of these charges and act as if Donald Trump didn't do anything. He didn't do anything at all. And I just think that's totally incorrect. Donald Trump did, you know, like, let me just kind of pause and let's talk about, because I'm going to talk about the Colorado thing, the Colorado Supreme Court decision saying that Donald Trump could be taken off their ballot. Obviously, that's not done yet. The U.S. Supreme Court's going to look at that soon, eventually, more than likely. But I'm going to go through some other points. But let me just stop here for a moment and talk about the whole concept of this insurrection. Now, personally, I wouldn't use the term insurrection to describe what happened on January 6th in Washington, D.C. I would probably more correctly, you know, I think like a term would be more accurate would be riot or something like that. But I wouldn't just call it a picnic like some people try to do, or say, oh, it was just a stroll in the park. Let's look at these edited selective videos showing people strolling through the Capitol building. Let's ignore the parts where there are people violently fighting cops and pepper spraying them and trying to get in the buildings and busting down windows and stuff like that. And look, I say this as a journalist who is also an anarchist, and personally, you know, you're not going to see me crying over people fighting with cops, because generally speaking, the cops are going to be the aggressor. So I'm not going to, you know, I'm not boohooing over cops or, you know, oh, somebody smashed a government building, things like that. But I'm just saying, if we're going to be objective, if we're going to be truly honest and objective, and we're going to look at this situation, Donald Trump was not the president, is not the president. And in fact, for those of you who believe he should be the president, multiple courts have thrown out accusations about the election steal. Giuliani, you know, they're going after Giuliani for his lies. They're going after Sidney Powell. The Kraken is going to be released. All this lies, QAnon, Trump stuff, guys, it never came true. So personally, I don't think Donald Trump won the election. I don't necessarily think Joe Biden won per se. I think the whole thing's a sham. But my point is, because so many people think Trump, the election was stolen from Trump, and this is part of the PSYOP, and I told you this back in 2020, and I told you that there was going to be some sort of false flag or some sort of deception about or related to the election, and January 6th was that. So they spend months, Donald Trump played a role. Now, he might really think, because he's so egotistical, that he actually won, but the point is that he starts telling everybody, stop the steal, you know, the election was stolen, and of course, he was planting the seeds before the election. They were basically getting the masses, the lemmings who follow Trump, to be ready, to be told, It was stolen from him. And unfortunately, I think this is what's going to happen next year as well, that Trump supporters aren't going to believe anything if they claim he loses. And Biden supporters, if they're told that he loses and Trump wins, if that's, you know, ends up being the case, they're going to lose their wig too. Neither side is willing to accept a loss at this point, and I don't see it going good places. But this is all being done by design. This is what you guys need to understand. It is not Donald Trump playing 5D chess and secretly doing crazy things that don't make sense to somehow fight the bad guys while he helps the bad guys. No, it is the powers that shouldn't be, the predator class, that are playing 10D, 10,000D chess way farther ahead of all of us. They're 10 plus moves ahead of every single one of us. So the best we can do is guess at what they're doing, like I'm trying to do here, and make an educated guess. And from what I see, Donald Trump serves their agendas. He is the literal Trump card. He is a chaos agent. He is the great divider. You know, he has an ego. He can be manipulated. You can go back and look at the reporting of his mentor, Roy Cohn, who is a known pedophile. You can look at the fact that the Rothschild bankers, they helped bail out Trump back in the day. Of course, his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. I'm going to go into more and more evidence to hopefully convince you guys. But what I believe that whole thing was about was getting the freedom movement, which was growing and burgeoning in 2015, 2016. That was when the censorship was just beginning. They used Trump to say, hey, that's the fake news. That's the fake news. And people got all excited because they know that the mainstream corporate media is corrupt. And they thought, maybe this guy is our guy. And then Trump just said one word about 9/11, said one word about the Federal Reserve, and threw a couple other bones. He kept saying he loves WikiLeaks. And then, of course, we know he gets in office and he does nothing about that. He doesn't look into the truth of 9/11. He doesn't touch the Federal Reserve, despite so many people thinking he nationalized it. I debunked that years ago. He furthers the prosecution and persecution of Chelsea Manning and Julian Assange, and on and on and on. So what he does is he comes in and he serves this agenda, but he divides our movement and gets some people thinking, no, you guys don't understand. Trump is really the only person who's going to stop the New World Order. And he even said it. He says, they're not coming for you. They're not coming for me. They're coming after you, and I'm the only thing standing in the way. So he's positioning himself as this great savior, this leader, the only one that can you know, lead us through the battle ahead. But in reality, he is part of their same agenda. So then we get to the 2020 election, and Trump is seeding it in his followers' minds. They're going to steal this from me. They're going to steal this from me. It's going to be COVID. It's going to be, you know, mail-in ballot, whatever. The table was already set for people to believe that. So if Trump lost, it wouldn't have mattered how much he lost or how close or far away it was. People weren't going to believe it one way or the other. Now, of course, Joe Biden is a completely unpopular guy. Like, I get that. I'm not trying to deny that. You know, Joe Biden is you know, or think Joe Biden has some movement behind him. But I think what people often forget is Trump is extremely hated for, I think, right reasons and maybe for other wrong reasons. But the point is, Trump is extremely hated. You cannot underestimate the amount of hate that there is out there for Trump. And so a lot of people who are just casual people who don't pay attention to politics were being told, again, rightfully or wrongfully, that Donald Trump was a literal Nazi and that we needed to stop them. So people came out and voted who wouldn't normally get involved. I guarantee you there's a people who have voted in 2020 who've never voted before and maybe never will again, except for this next time, since they're going to tell them it's the most important election and we have to stop Donald Trump again. But my point is, so you guys buy into the idea of the election steal. They tell you to come to DC for January 6th. We're going to stop the steal. Trump out there goes out there and gives an impassioned speech. Now, he didn't say storm the Capitol, but he said, you got to fight. You have to fight. You can't let them, you know, do this. Our country's on the line. The message was clear, right? And then, of course, you got Alex Jones and other people ramping it up. And then real people, along with more than likely FBI agents who were undercover, and we don't have all those full details yet, and we do need that information, but more than likely we never will get it. Definitely there were feds operating. But are we supposed to believe that the feds were the only people that broke the windows? The feds were the only people that hit cops over the head or pepper sprayed people? No, surely they were up there. And their job was, of course, to push and be the most extreme so that other people feel comfortable then to, like, yeah, let's storm the Capitol, let's charge it. And that's how you end up with these like 58-year-old grandmas and people getting arrested for going to the Capitol. Now, I'm not saying that these people are terrorists at all. Like, I think it's totally wrong. It's fucked up the way the mainstream is using this event to then demonize just regular Americans who question the election. I don't think election, you know, questioning should be banned or censored or anything like that. You guys should know that, but I want to make that clear. All I'm saying is there were legit people there who believed they were going to enter that building and stop the certification of the U.S. election. Now, again, I'm an anarchist, so screw it. Like, whatever, don't certify it is really how I feel about it. But if we're going to be objective and talk about facts, what else would you call, again, I'm not using the word insurrection, but let's say a riot, a group who storms a building, starts beating down the doors and breaking windows, even if there were some feds, some regular people went into the building and they're just roaming around. And in some cases we get funny video where it's just like, hey, look, there's no cops. And some people say, no, the cops let them in there. Yes, I've seen some videos of that. There are some sketchy things, but at the same time, the cops were outnumbered. I mean, put yourself in a cop's shoes. Again, not a thing I like to do, not really a place I want to be. But if I'm a cop and I'm just going to work and I'm like, oh God, there's this January 6th thing today. Hopefully things don't get too crazy. And next thing you know, there's 20, 30 guys, or maybe even more, hundreds of people, and they're wearing masks, and you see some of them got pepper spray and batons, and they start throwing shit at you and, you know, hitting at you and swatting at you. Some of the cops, they were cowards. They left their post. Now, you could argue, oh no, they were paid to do that. Soros told them to do that. That was the New World Order. I think sometimes it's just humans being humans, and there were probably cops who thought like, oh, I'm outnumbered. I'm screwed. I'm just going to run. There's a video. You can see videos out there. There's more than one of a cop like running up the stairs, running in the hallway, trying to get away, because maybe he realistically thought like, these people are gonna kill me. Because you had people out there saying like, hang Mike Pence. You did legitimately have people calling for violence. And so to sit and act like nothing happened on January 6th, I think is ridiculous. Now, this is not the point of this video, so I wanna digress here, but I've been wanting to say this for a while because I see so much independent media just acting like nothing happened, acting like Trump didn't do anything, Trump didn't incite anything. And then that leads me to the Colorado Supreme Court decision. Because of that, they act like all of the charges that are being brought up against Trump are just bullshit. They're, you know, this is them going after Trump. And do you see how this all feeds into a narrative? You set Trump up as the guy that's here to save the day. And you make sure that he is a very unlikable guy who says, you know, ignorant things, and he triggers the left, and he is clearly not the brightest, and he's an authoritarian. He has an authoritarian streak, as I've shown. But you position him in a way that confuses the heck out of the people who actually care about freedom, because they're like, okay, because some of us are just still stuck in this simplistic, dichotomous thinking. So you're like, well, Joe Biden, left-wing Democrats, they're bad. They're saying crazy things. Trump is making fun of them. He's saying some good things, and he's calling out the media. Thereby, he must be on my team, right? But the enemy of your enemy is not necessarily your friend. And I think too many people are buying into that. And so they're believing, oh, because Trump says the right things or makes fun of certain people or whatever, then he's on our team. And for some of you, that's enough. You don't look at any of his actions. You don't look at judge him by his fruit. It's just like, who cares? Trump said something funny. He trolled the media, and I'm going to accept it. And so you ignore the fact that Donald Trump is an authoritarian. I believe that he would be dangerous for the United States. Now, Joe Biden and whoever's really running him, Obama, I'm not going to sit here and debate who's worse, you know, who would be worse for America. All I'm saying is Donald Trump, I definitely think, would take the U.S. in an authoritarian direction, and maybe quicker than Biden would, because the fact is that so many of you who think or believe that you love freedom trust Trump. So you would make excuses, just like you made excuses over the first 4 years of his presidency, just like you're making excuses for him now. So you would be willing to justify all kinds of crazy things because you're like, well, Trump said it, or it's good for America or whatever, just like many people on the left and progressive, et cetera, bought all the COVID narrative and said, hey, well, if we have to lock you down, it's for the good of America, it's to stop this virus or whatever. The right would do very similar things. And I've written about this years ago. You can find this on my website. I wrote an essay called The Left and Right Wing Authoritarians. And the fact is, it's not just the left that are crazy, fascist, wokeism or whatever that's coming for you. You've also got the hard right, evangelical, Christian nationalists. Those people do exist. And I don't want to live in a Handmaid's Tale world any more than I want to live in a 1984 world. Like, I don't care if the boot stamping on my face is Christian fascist or white nationalist or democratic socialist or whatever. If it's controlling me, if it's authoritarianism, it's forced, then I don't want anything to do with it. So just recognize that. The authoritarianism is not just the left. It can come from the right, and it can come from Donald Trump, and I believe it will. So he is a dangerous person, and I don't think that it will be good for the U.S. Now, I don't think that means they're setting good precedent. I think this gag order they tried to have in one of his court cases, I think that sets a bad precedent. And there are even leftist scholars, as I'm going to point out here now, who say that this move to take Donald Trump off of the Colorado ballot would be a bad move for liberty. So let's talk about this. As I said last week, divided Supreme Court, Colorado Supreme Court, I think it was 4-3 judges, ruled that Donald Trump should be taken off the ballot because of the U.S. Constitution's insurrection clause. And this is the first time this has ever happened, so it's going to set up a Supreme Court battle, and we'll see where it goes. They used Section 3 of the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution to disqualify a presidential candidate. And as I said, you know, predictably, you got conservative and Republican Trump supporters saying, this is just the latest attack on Trump. They know they can't beat him, so they're coming after him in the courts. And then you got the Democrats and the left-leaning folks celebrating and saying, like, yes, hopefully this is the end of Trump, because they're trying everything they can, and it's just not working. But in my mind, this is all narrative building. This is all just creating the scene for, like, oh, we've tried everything, and we just can't stop Trump, and here he is, and he's going to come back. And, I mean, yeah, let's just go further. But this guy, Lawrence Lessig III, who is an American legal scholar, political activist, and definitely not a Trump supporter, he wrote actually for Slate, which is a left-wing online magazine, saying that he believes upholding the Supreme Court's decision, the Colorado Supreme Court, would be a bad move for liberty. He says, quote, there is no argument from absurdity that justifies stretching the words of the 14th Amendment to cover this extreme case. For the sake of institutional integrity of the Supreme Court, I hope it rejects the judgment unanimously. One does not need to like Donald Trump in order to see that the law does not preclude him from being a candidate. Or at least, such must be true if the rule of law is indeed about law and not about this awful man. So he's basically saying, like, look, we don't have to like Trump, but if we really care about the rule of law and we want to keep the Supreme Court as a alleged institution of integrity, which I would doubt already, then we need to make this, like, we need to stick to the law and not just make this about trying to get rid of Trump by any means necessary. And he says again here, quote, no doubt, and again, electing Trump would be the worst political decision of the nation since Civil War, but excluding him wrongfully by a close vote by the Supreme Court could well trigger the next civil war. We must defeat him politically, not through clever lawyer interpretations of ambiguous constitutional texts. So again, that's a left-wing dude saying, like, this isn't a good move to make. And I'm coming from that same area. The reason I shared that is to say, look, not everybody who is critical of Trump is trying to just come at him through any means necessary. I do care about principles. I do care about consistency. I'm not a big constitutionalist, but if we're supposed to allegedly live under this Constitution, we probably should stick to it as close as possible and try to understand it instead of just, you know, throwing that all out the window if we don't like a politician. And I don't like Donald Trump. I've been calling Donald Trump out since the beginning as the great divider. I don't like that this writer mentioned the Civil War and says we're on the verge of the Civil War. And I've, in fact, over the years been critical of people who've talked about Civil War, because you can see Alex Jones, Mike Adams of Natural News, Tim Pool, and other people in the quote-unquote independent media really have played up this, the Democrats are going to launch a civil war. Is the civil war on the horizon? The brink of the civil war. It's like somebody out there wants us to buy into a civil war narrative and wants us to be all pumped up full of fear and thinking that our neighbors are coming to kill us and we just can't get along because they're left and I'm right and they're this thing and I'm that thing and there's no way we could possibly get along. I wonder whose goals that serves. Does it serve the people? For us to think that our neighbors are going to come kill us or to turn against each other? No, obviously not. And when you get out of the computer and out of the internet and you go talk to regular people, not just in your little bubble or circle online, you meet regular people and they're out there and they have different viewpoints than you, and that's okay. But they're not all trying to kill you. It's the internet. I think we're spending too much time on the fucking internet lately, and we think that that's what's going out in the real world when most people are just living their lives for better or worse. I did write about this back in 2018. I wrote this article, When Will Trump Supporters in the Freedom Movement Realize They Were Duped? And I wrote this, one of the most surprising and disappointing effects of the Trump presidency has been a shift of certain independent and alternative media outlets from truth seekers to establishment supporters. We have seen several once great outlets become part of the divide and conquer put forth by the powers that wish they were. It's been 1 year of the Trump administration, and I think it's quite clear that any perceived benefits are vastly outweighed by the negative actions of this administration. Some Indian alt media outlets saw that Trump was a deceiver from the get-go, but others somehow fell prey to the deception. Some have since abandoned the Trump train, picked themselves up, dusted themselves off, and rejoined the fight for liberty. And I go on to say others have continued to push the Trump narrative, and here we are, 2023, and some of those same people are pushing the Trump narrative. You know, Trump was very for better or worse, was very lucrative and financially valuable to a lot of people. You know, if you love Trump, you could talk about him all day and his supporters would listen. You could come up with all kinds of crazy theories and make shit up and people would eat it up. If you hated Trump, people hated him. You could talk about how much you hate Trump all day and you could make things up about him. It didn't even have to be real. And people would eat it up and you could monetize that and make a lot of money. But if you tried to be critical of Trump, not just from the left perspective or the right perspective, and really look at what the mainstream says and be critical of it, but also acknowledge when they're accurate, well, that's not very lucrative. People don't want that. They want hot takes. They want, do you like Trump? Do you hate him? Do you love him? Any nuance in between is typically lost. Now, we're going to get here into the final part, but this section is important. This is really says what I just blabbed on about in a few, you know, about 20 minutes, but I'm going to condense it down to this article, this couple of paragraphs. Unfortunately, because Republicans and conservatives have rightfully grown sick of watching the corporate media lie about Trump's actions since 2015, many of them now turn a blind eye to the actual crimes and violations of civil liberties committed by Trump. My major concern is that as we approach 2024 and the presidential election, that the predator class will once again seek to exploit the divided politics of America and engage in false flag tactics. Just like the January 6th operation was intended to justify the federal government, giving the federal government more power to target Americans, this potential 2024 false flag would be designed to accelerate the push towards the techno-tyranny that we see promoted as part of the Great Reset. And I warned about this in my 2020 election article, The Establishment's Plan to Divide Part 2, COVID-19, Election 2020, and the Great Reset. In that article, I warned about the increasing totalitarian practices resulting from COVID-19. On that front, I was correct that the governments would use the panic to grab more power and control over their populations. I also reported on the numerous exercises and drills that took place before the 2020 election, which warned of chaos and civil unrest. And although some of the specific details of my article haven't yet turned out, I believe that I was correct in my calling that there would be chaos following the 2020 election, but I expect there's going to be even bigger fireworks in 2024, and I will be talking about that in the future. But in case some of you forgot, here's just four reasons. Trump loves big pharma. Trump loves GMOs. Trump is bad on gun rights, and Trump is, in fact, the drone emperor. Oh, wait, actually, I got more than four. Trump fought to keep the presidential kill list secret, just like Obama. Yeah, he did the same thing that guy you guys love to hate did. Prosecuting Julian Assange and Chelsea Manning. So those are just six things. And I also have a whole article called Here Are 18 Ways Donald Trump Supported the Swamp, which I wrote at the end of his presidency in case people wanted to, you know, try to celebrate him and think that he was this great hero. But let's just focus for a moment on Trump loving big pharma. If you forgot, Donald Trump is Mr. Warp Speed. He was the launcher of the, he was in the position, you know, he was assigned to the position of president so he could be the head of Operation Warp Speed. And if you don't remember, Operation Warp Speed was basically like, let's get the vaccine, the alleged vaccine, the experimental injection out to the public as quick as possible. But how are you going to do that without big pharma executives on your team? So in 2017, by the way, which was 3 years before COVID, so we already knew that Trump loved big pharma for those who are paying attention, Trump chose Alex Azar for Secretary of Department of Health and Human Services. So again, 2017, that's right when he comes into office. The nominee immediately came under scrutiny for his former connections to the pharmaceutical industry. Alex Azar served under the Bush administration from 2005 to 2007. Then he worked for the pharmaceutical giant Eli Lilly. And then he also served as their senior vice president of corporate affairs. And then beginning January 1st, he was promoted to the president of Lilly USA, the largest division of the company. And then, of course, he was eventually assigned to the Trump administration. And then when we get to 2020, Trump appoints Dr. Moncef Slaoui, who myself and Whitney Webb were reporting extensively about as the Operation Warp Speed kicked off back in 2020, who was the head of Operation Warp Speed, and he has extensive ties to the pharmaceutical industry as well as the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. You can read this article to find out more. I'll just share this part. He sits on the board of pharmaceutical companies and biotech organizations, including Medici X, chairman at Galvani Bioelectrics, which I've reported on all these, Sutravax chairman, Artisan Biosciences, biological science, genetic engineering, DNA manipulation, and big pharma. This is what this guy's involved in. Human vaccines projects, Moderna Therapeutics. Obviously, that's important. Each of these companies is involved in vaccine development and the emerging field of bioelectronics, which I also reported on. The other one I'll mention here, it should be clear for those who pay attention, Trump is bad on gun rights. There's numerous quotes out there you can find of him, and I link to a few of them here. how he's called for red flag laws. He had a bump stock ban. He also said, you got to take the guns first and then, you know, we talk to them later when it comes to red flag laws, which red flag laws are basically if somebody thinks you're crazy or you said something wrong on the internet, they can call the cops on you and get the cops to show up and do a mental health check, get your guns taken away for a couple of days or weeks or permanently, depending on that. And Trump said, yeah, those are a good idea. But I want to focus on this topic of the drones because, man, I do miss the days about a decade ago when people gave a shit about the drone war. And I guess it was just Obama. It really sucked to learn that a lot of people, I think, that I got to meet in the freedom movement in the first few years of my activism, they were probably just racist. And I mean, I don't say that lightly. I mean, I don't like to throw that word around. But I mean, it seemed like some people just hated Obama because he was black. And then whenever Trump got in office and did the exact same thing, just like Obama came into office after Bush and did the exact same thing, a lot of those people just stopped caring. And it seems like one of those issues is the drone thing. So Obama was known as the Drone King. It was kind of his nickname that we gave him because he was responsible for killing innocent families, bombing funerals, bombing weddings. You know, he really brought the program into the public's eye. And of course, Edward Snowden and other whistleblowers exposed it further. But Trump actually took it to a whole new level. And unfortunately, there's not very much reporting on this. I was reporting on it. I was trying to keep up with the little bit of reporting that happened. But you know why it's hard to keep up? Because one of the first things Trump did was remove the rules which required reporting on drone deaths, which were at least put in place during Obama administration. So Obama administration, he's the drone king, but hey, at least he tells us when he kills somebody. They got rid of that during Trump's administration, but from private organizations and NGOs and other, you know, just kind of civilian groups who try to follow this, we've got some information. And in fact, in 2019, airstrikes from the U.S. and its allies in Afghanistan killed 700 civilians, more than any other year since the beginning of the war in 2001 and 2002. And this was according to research from Brown University, a project called Cost of War. And they said, quote, the number of civilians killed by international airstrikes increased about 330% from 2016, which was the last full year of the Obama administration, to 2019. The most recent year for which there is complete data from the United Nations. So in Trump's first 2 years in office, he increased the drone strikes by 330%. And now some of you out there who are kind of neocons who support Trump and who've bought into this idea that we need a strong military and terrorists are everywhere and those the only thing keeping us safe is dropping drone bombs or whatever, you might hear that number and be like, good, because I've heard this from people, good, Trump's bombing the terrorists, that's, you know, that's what we need, we need to kill those brown people in the other countries, let's not worry about the implications of our foreign policy and how that's going to come back to bite us in the butt later, collateral damage, you know, Ron Paul's talked about this. But my point here today is obviously that you should not be supporting Trump. And one of the other common responses I get is, of course, the reflexive, so what, you support Biden? Which before that I heard, so you support Hillary? And then before that I heard, so you support Obama? You know, it's like people can't think deeper than that. But no, I don't support any of these people. I don't support Obama, who's got his hand up Biden's ass and is using him as a puppet, or any of the people who they represent. Because at the end of the day, presidents are puppets. And it's not just Biden. Donald Trump's a puppet. Obama was a puppet. George Bush is a puppet. There are bigger people, much more intelligent and coordinated, who are moving the strings behind the scene. And even Trump himself might not realize that. I highly doubt that, but it is possible. I'll give you this. There might be some level of belief in Trump that he is doing good, even though his actions show the opposite. People are complex. People can hold, you know, more than one thought in their head. They can think they're doing good while also doing damage. And that's what makes them so dangerous, because people who believe that they are doing good when they have power, they have the potential to do a lot of bad because they've convinced themselves that they're doing good. And if these people have a movement behind them, cheering them on and celebrating them, then they're all the more likely to potentially do something crazy because they think they have the consent of the governed, the consent of the people. Donald Trump does not have the consent of me, does not have consent of most of the people. Joe Biden doesn't have the consent of me or most people. But I truly do believe a Donald Trump presidency would end up in authoritarianism in the U.S. And again, the reason I say this is because those of you who believe Trump, I think you would make excuses. And we saw it during his administration when he's talking about shutting down the country and doing this and that. And Donald Trump really, he used the Defense Production Act. He was one of the most socialist presidents in recent memory, giving out stimulus checks and different things like that. And you made excuses then, so why wouldn't you make excuses now? But for those who say, okay, so then what am I supposed to do? Vote for Joe Biden? No. And I honestly, I wouldn't recommend voting for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. either at this point. I would say don't vote. Don't vote for president. I'm not going to vote for president. I never will. I never plan to. There's not anybody running who represents me. I don't believe in the institution. You should get more involved locally. You should start fighting for liberty in your community if you really believe in it. Because Trump isn't going to save you. Trump's not going to save your city, your town. He can't do that. Only you can do that. Only you and your community, the people who live where you are, if you get organized, you can, quote unquote, take the power back from whoever you think has the power and doesn't deserve it or is using it wrong. But Trump isn't going to do that. You could also go to freedomcells.org and start getting connected and find people in your local community and say, hey guys, what are your concerns? No matter who the president is, we've got a lot of concerns. We've got rising inflation. We've got, you know, banksters working on CBDCs. We got digital IDs coming in. And a president isn't going to stop that. So why don't we get organized and start game planning and figuring out what's our solution for 2030 and beyond? Start sharing skills, start sharing knowledge, start learning how to grow your own food. There are so many other solutions besides believing in presidents and giving away your power to these false authorities. Now, you could say, hey, Derek, I'm not giving away my power. I'm just going to go vote for Trump in November because I hate Biden and I'm going to hope it does some good. Sure, you're going to put in minimal effort, minimal time. That's fine. But I still would say if you think that that's going to save you, you're headed for a bad place, my friend. We are the only ones that can save us. We, the empowered, free, beautiful individuals who recognize that politicians don't represent us, and that we are dealing with some evil people. And it is these evil people who will play deception on top of deception on top of deception to convince you that they are your friends when they are not your friends. So please, remain skeptical. Use your critical thinking and question things as we move forward. I will have more content like this coming in 2024 because I am very concerned. Although I'm headed, I'm about to go back to Mexico and work on my land and focus on solutions for my life, I am concerned for the direction of the United States. And I do think, as we know, order out of chaos, these people, the predator class, the powers that wish they were, are going to try to create as much chaos in the United States. Economic chaos, health chaos, civil unrest, political chaos, whatever they can to implement the control grid and the power systems that they want. And they will use whoever and whatever they need to get it done. If you don't think they can buy someone off, I'm sorry, you're not being realistic here. Trump is not immune to the things that these people offer. And if you really study the man and know his character, you will see he is not a friend of liberty. So guys, thank you so much for giving me your time. And I hope you will seriously consider the message I've shared here. The videos that I've done in the past, I'll link them. The article I shared will be linked underneath. And until next time, my friends, remember, you are powerful, you are beautiful, and you are free. And you're the only one that can free yourself. Till next time, peace.